It's time now to consider the very complex issue of cable TV regulation. Most observers would agree that to a considerable extent, cable TV is a natural monopoly. In this context, you can think of that as meaning that there are high fixed costs for laying down a network of cables. That means that it could possibly be inefficient to have two, three, or more companies all laying down networks of cables to compete to serve customers. Charging consumers high enough prices to recoup those fixed costs would mean that price would be higher and quantity supplied would end up being lower. It thus often works out to be the case that it may be cheaper to have a single or dominant cable supplier in any one geographic region. We're then faced with the option of there either being some monopoly power or some government regulation, or quite commonly, some amount of both. By the way, for more detail on the natural monopoly argument, you can see our video, Weak and Strong Natural Monopoly. Nonetheless, we need to put this natural monopoly argument in context. We do see that the price of cable services has been rising pretty consistently, but the number of households with connections has been rising too, and it's now well over half of all households which have possible access to cable. So in this sense, the key problem of monopoly, excludability from access, we're actually somewhat managing to solve, or at least make big improvements in. Furthermore, cable TV is less of a monopoly than it was 10 or 20 years ago. One reason is that satellite service can now reach many more households. Another option is it's simply possible to watch a lot of TV programs on the internet. Or maybe your friends have TiVo and you go over to their home and watch a program that you missed because you didn't want to pay for cable. Overall, we see competition in the market is increasing pretty rapidly. A common story is that cable TV prices would be much higher if not for state and local regulation. But keep in mind, most subscribers to cable also subscribe to what are called premium channels, which supply extras, such as HBO or Showtime, and these prices typically are unregulated. The price in the market as a whole, therefore, is considerably less regulated than it may at first appear. An economic perspective on cable TV regulation also stresses that price regulation doesn't always work, and especially when it comes to cable TV, it's very difficult to get price regulation to really work at all. The reason is that the real price for television service is quality adjusted. It's not just about what are you paying, but it's also about what kinds of channels are you getting and how good are their programs. Overall, the quality of cable TV and the diversity and the selection, it's gone up a lot. So the real actual price hasn't gone up nearly as much as what the published price might lead you to believe. Furthermore, an important point is this. If you imagine regulators making the published price for cable service much lower, well, how would a cable TV company respond? They would respond by lowering the quality of service, lowering the quality and diversity and selection of programs. It's not actually that easy for the regulator to lower the net price, quality adjusted, all things considered. And keep in mind, we have the First Amendment, so this is not like water regulation, where maybe the water regulator can stipulate a certain quality of water. It's very difficult for a regulator to stipulate a certain quality of television, precisely because free speech is not, in general, regulated. There's another way to view the limited effectiveness of regulation, and that's to look at the historic data. This graph was assembled by Tom Hazlett, drawing on BLS statistics, and it's striking how much explicit regulation of cable TV prices doesn't seem to matter. So going back earlier into the 1990s, we see a period here when cable television prices were regulated, and over that period, prices are going up. There's then here, later in the 90s, a period of deregulation, and again, prices are still going up. Maybe they're going up at a slightly more rapid rate than the earlier period, but a big difference is hard to see. There's then a period where regulation of prices is reimposed, and during that period we do see prices pretty steeply coming down, at least for a while. But yet, when we enter the new era of regulation starting here, we can again see the upward ascent of prices. There's later a deregulation coming here, where in a new era of deregulation given by these years, and prices are going up again at what would appear to be about the same rate as during the regulated period. Maybe the best way to think about this history is that there's a strong overall trend for published prices to go up, but also for quality of service and programming to go up. And regulation maybe is making some difference here, but not nearly as much as you might think. The point here is not to argue for the complete deregulation of cable TV. That would be an impossibility. One way to think about why strict deregulation is possible is simply to think of cable TV in terms of rights of way. That is, there is only a limited ability for various suppliers to be laying cable toward homes, and local and state governments, one way or another, have to make decisions as to which companies will have the rights of way to actually lay the cable. So maybe the best way to think about it is that we're going to have some kind of regulation no matter what, but we want a kind of regulation that will encourage long-term competitiveness and contestability for these markets. Very often, the actual problem is a public choice problem. It's not a question of having a benevolent local government which protects cable TV viewers from rapacious cable companies, but very often the local government and the cable companies, they're somehow in league together, and the local government is often trying to help the cable company earn more money and keep out competitors, and the local government then takes a cut. So practically speaking, the real problem is not somehow figuring out what does a theory of optimum regulation tell us is the best way for cable regulation to be applied. The real problem is this political economy problem of how can we get local governments away from this notion that their job is to protect the local cable company and then take their cut. And that's a pretty tough thing to do. One very recent development is what is known as cord cutting. That is when people, typically young people, get rid of their cable TV contracts or maybe their TVs altogether and simply start watching their favorite TV shows on the internet. Cable TV companies still are, in general, really quite profitable, and that's in a media universe where a lot of companies don't make money or are losing money. Nonetheless, we're seeing new challenges, and across some margins, we're seeing the number of cable TV contracts actually slipping back rather than advancing. For further reading, you can start by Googling cable TV regulation, and also look at the FCC site for a lot of information on the changing roles of the FCC and state and local governments over time. Tom Hazlett has a lot of good pieces on cable TV regulation, and here I'm citing the piece that the chart is drawn from. On cable TV regulation, it's also worth reading Jerry Brito and Jerry Ellig. Finally, do see our further material on natural monopoly more general. It seems that the issue of market power is here to stay when it comes to cable TV, but the question is just how workable an arrangement can we construct?